pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What do those words mean to you?
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Radio Jihadists. You're back with Radio Jihad, the patriotic resistance movement. I'm Vito Esposito. Mamma mia, no Sharia. Our call-in number tonight and every night is...
Area code 347-857-1380. Radio Jihad.
I love it. And I'm not joined by that no pork eating America lover, Al. So I'm going to be on my own tonight, flying solo. And I just wanted to say...
Silence! I kill you!
I kill you! I just had to do it. Just started the show. I'm a little bit disheveled. But I think I'm all right. I don't know if you all have heard Holger's show this past Saturday, but it was an excellent show as usual, and we were on the same page, as a matter of fact, being on the same page with regards to Islam, with regards to ISIS, with regards to the failed presidential policies of one Barack Hussein Satoru Obama. When it comes to foreign policies, when it comes to domestic policies, basically when it comes to policies in general, the man is an absolute failure. Yeah, did say it. Yep, the vitriol started. But let's not forget, Barack Hussein Satoru Obama brought this on himself. This is a man who's basically sabotaging the U.S. economy. He's sabotaged the international affairs. Everything he's touched really has turned to crap when you look at it. Let's see what happens today. The breaking news is that Israel accepts Egyptian ceasefire plans in Gaza crisis. We know Israel is doing everything they can to put an end to the Hamas terrorist organization-led attack. But let's see how long this particular ceasefire lasts. An Israeli senior official confirms to Fox News that Israel accepts an Egyptian plan for a 72-hour ceasefire in Gaza beginning Tuesday morning. The Palestinian delegation in Cairo, which includes Hamas, also confirms acceptance. So like you, I am going to turn on my red alert, make sure it's loud, and let's see how long this ceasefire is going to last. Not sure with Hamas, you can't take them at their word. And let's face it, Hamas is a terrorist organization. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that. Hamas is a terrorist organization. Can everybody get that? We're going to go back to the basics. Hamas is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood has been outlawed by Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood is a terrorist organization, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood's creed for the Western democracy and for America reads as follows. The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is kind of a grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. Now, Hamas is not the victim here. Hamas is a terrorist organization. And as Holger eloquently stated on his show Saturday, Hamas is a terrorist organization. What is it that the media in this country cannot get through their head? What is it that the left in this country finds as a fascination to align themselves with a terrorist organization, the Muslim Brotherhood? To this day, we cannot understand how a president of the United States has aligned himself with the Muslim Brotherhood. How organizations, Muslim Brotherhood front groups, have actively worked here in the United States. From the Muslim Student Association to the Council on American-Islamic Race Relations, to the Islamic Society of North America, ISNA, to the Islamic Circle of North America, ICNA, to the North American Islamic Trust, NAIT. At what point do we Americans demand from our leaders in Washington, D.C., that they not follow a terrorist organization? How about they outlaw a terrorist organization? How about when the State Department Terror Watch List lists an organization called Hamas as a terrorist organization, why don't we hold our leaders accountable for funding terrorist organizations? Oh, we can mask the funding of these terrorist organizations as rebuilding their land or shoring up their economies. Well, we saw how well shoring up the Gaza economy was. They built a shitload of tunnels, didn't they? Over 30 tunnels. I think I got Smoke on the line. Hey, Smoke, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I had to Skype in to listen to the show.
No kidding.
Yeah, I tried. I refreshed like 4 times, and it was terrible. So I finally just Skyped in to listen.
All right. I'm going to put you back on hold.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll hit the one if I want to talk to you.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay.
Thanks, man. I hope we're not having this problem in the chat room. If everybody's not having this problem. I had some issues calling in today, but okay. Well, let's see what happens. I want to say hello to everybody in the chat room. Bigfoot, Eric from Kafiristan. Good evening, Eric. Green Dog, good to see you. Hello to our guest, Golf Dog. Good evening, Ron. Holy cannoli, it's Holger. Good evening, Holger. He gets a Mamma Mia No Sharia and a one-way plane ticket to the third Intifada for being the first one in the chat room. Hello, Mary. Good to see you, Mary. Mamma Mia No Sharia. Randy, the cross in the desert. Hey, y'all, if you have not heard the Conservative Cauldrons show, this morning at 10:30, he had Pastor Saeed Abedini's wife on as a guest. If you get a chance, listen to Holger's show from Saturday, which was excellent, but also listen to Randy's show from the Cross in the Desert. Kath, Mama Mia No Sharia, thank you all for joining us this evening. I know we have some people that have called in. I'll try to get to you. Hello to Sue from New Mexico. And thanks for calling in this evening, Sue. So let's face it, as Holger eloquently stated, as General Assisi has stated, Hamas is a terrorist organization. Now, to bring back some memories, the reason that this conflict erupted in Gaza was Hamas had abducted and murdered three Israeli boys, three Israeli teenagers walking home from school. They were hitchhiking, which is not uncommon in Israel. These boys were abducted. They tried calling 911, which I think it's 100 is equivalent to our 911. They heard some the operator heard some shots in the background. The phone connection went dead. For 2 weeks, the parents pleaded for their sons to come home, for their release. But in a cold, callous, in a heartless, in an absolute Islamic way, they assassinated, they murdered the three boys, and then threw them in a field. Israel has had enough. If you want to use your children as human shields, if you want to fire rockets and missiles from inside of schools, from inside of hospitals, from inside of people's homes, you go ahead and do it. But now you've crossed the line. And Benjamin Netanyahu, to his credit, has not backed down. He's faced a lot of criticism from the world. The anti-Semitism that has now erupted around the world from countries that he probably thought would have been his ally. The so-called mainstream media in this world has done a magnificent job in painting Israel as the bad guy. And again, what was the root cause of all this? It was Hamas, a terrorist organization, abducting three Israeli youths and killing them in cold blood. This is an inbred hatred of the Jews. This is the Quran talking to the Islamists and telling them to hate the infidel, hate the Jew. This is Hebrew phobia. And Hamas now is paying the price. Now, sadly, there may be some innocent people in Gaza who are paying the price with their lives, but Hamas knows this. Hamas, like good Muslims do, they play people as a $3 bill. We all see it here in the United States. You know, we watch CARE as they like to play the victim card. You know, they like to proclaim the self-proclaimed largest civil rights group, Muslim civil rights group in the United States. They love to play the victim. In the meantime, they go behind your back, my back, America's back, using the First Amendment to destroy the First Amendment, using our Constitution to destroy the Constitution. This is the objective from Islam. But this is not something that we at Radio Jihad have crafted. No, this is Hamas. This is the Muslim Brotherhood in their own way. The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is kind of a grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. That was written by the Muslim Brotherhood. That is a goal the Muslim Brotherhood has for the United States of America and for the West. At what point do we in America start believing the writings, the belief system of Islam? Omar Ahmad, the co-founder of the Council on American Islamic Relations, a Palestinian himself, stated that Islam is not in America to be equal but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam, the only accepted religion on earth. At what point are we to start believing the Islamic revolution that is trying to sweep the Western democracies? Was it the actions, or is it the actions in Belgium? Is it the actions in the United Kingdom? Is it the actions in Austria? Well, maybe we should look here in our own backyard in America. This is not an issue of hate. This is an issue of protecting our liberties and freedoms. We watch the totalitarianism of Islam and its cancerous effect on the rest of the world. And since Randy's in the room, we watch what's happened in Iran. You know, the 56 Islamic states and the Palestinian territory all voted in the Organization of Islamic Cowards, the OIC, to impose UN Resolution 16/18 to criminalize free speech in the Western democracies if you're deemed to have criticized Islam. But nowhere in that resolution does it state the word Islam. Does it use the word Islam? Does it use the word Muslim? No, it's a generic document that is made to deceive the Western democracy, and yet each and every state of the 56 states and the Palestinian territory all passed the UN Resolution 16/18 unanimously. They all want this imposed on the Western democracies, and yet, not one Islamic state follows UN Resolution 16/18 that they're mandating be opposed on the Western democracies. And how do we know that? They arrested Pastor Saeed Abedini. They beat him. They terrorized him. They've now incarcerated him in one of the hardest prisons in Iran. They sentenced him to something like 10 years, I believe, because of his Christian faith. All he was guilty of was building orphanages in Iran for the underprivileged Iranian children, for the needy Iranian children. Doing something humanitarian. Humanitarian is foreign to the Islamic states. And how is he paying this price? He's paying it by being beaten, by being tortured. And for Iran violating UN Resolution 16/18, discriminating on the basis of religion, discriminating on the basis of religion. See, because if you're not Islamic, according to the 56 Islamic states and the Palestinian territory, you're guilty of apostasy. But boy, it sounds good when they passed this resolution. It sounds good that they sought the help of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to petition the United States government to incorporate UN Resolution 16/18 in violation of the United States Constitution, Article 6, Paragraph 2. UN Resolution 16/18 is so important that even the OIC petitioned our useless Attorney General Eric Holder to see how they can criminalize free speech in America, using the First Amendment to destroy the First Amendment, while they, Islam themselves, do not adhere to what they're trying to inflict upon the Western democracies. And so they've incarcerated Pastor Saeed Abedini. They've beaten Pastor Abedini. They've tortured Pastor Abedini. And yet, it hasn't broken his will. He still is deeply, deeply in faith, his belief in God. Holger on Saturday talked about ISIS, and I don't believe the story broke on Saturday. I believe it broke on Sunday, and I was reading through some periodicals, and as soon as I find it, sorry, with Al gone, I was a little bit, I missed the da 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 da. ISIS took over yet another City yesterday. They have taken over a dam. They've taken over a oil field, or it seems that they have penetrated to where they have taken an oil field. And Holger was talking about this on Saturday with ISIS, and how ISIS was the Islamic Iraq and Syria, how they have run out all of the Christians in Mosul, where they have placed an Arabic letter on the residences and to indicate you're a Nasara, which is a Christian. They've given you three options. You either pay the jizya, you convert, or you die. And what I found fascinating was the surprise, the sudden surprise by the media in this country. The media in this country seems to be taken aback by the three choices that have been given to the Christians in Mosul. Of course, there's no Christians left in Mosul, but ISIS has given them three choices. And if Americans, forget about left and right, if people would take the time to read the Quran, you would see in the Quran there are three choices. ISIS is not just a radical organization. ISIS is a fundamental organization. I like the analogy that ISIS is more extreme than Al-Qaeda. No, ISIS is Al-Qaeda. ISIS now has returned the caliphate to Iraq and portions of Syria, looking to spread. I also read that it's spreading to Lebanon. Guess what Lebanon borders? I don't have to tell you if you know your geography. But the sudden fascination by the media, they're shocked. Why? Christians have three choices in Iraq under this extreme radical organization, ISIS. No, ISIS is a fundamental organization. This is what Islam is about. This is what Islam was doing when it tried to conquer the world. This is what brought on the Crusades. This is Islam. Either you convert, either you pay a jizya, or you die. This is not something that was just conjured up within the last 24 hours, last 48 hours. This is Islam. ISIS beats back Kurds to take Mosul Dam and three towns. Islamic State fighters have seized Iraq's biggest dam, an oil field, and three more towns. ISIS also scored its first major defeat of Kurdish forces since sweeping through the northern Iraq in June. The capture of the Mosul Dam could give the group a base from which to attack major cities and aid its bid to topple Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's Shiite-led government. ISIS capture of the northern town of Sinjar has already forced up to 200,000 people to flee the United Nations announced on Sunday. A humanitarian tragedy is unfolding in Sinjar, U.S. envoy Nikolai Malenov said Sunday after ISIS, formerly known as Islamic State of Iraq in the Levant, captured the town near the Syrian border, which had served as a refuge for thousands of families displaced from elsewhere in previous fightings. After beating militia fighters to take territories in what had until recently been a stronghold from the transnational Kurdish minority, fighters hoisted the ISIS flag. The group has declared a caliphate in an area on the Iraq-Syrian border and taken aim at the region's various sects, including the dwindling Christian population in areas such as Mosul. Now, really? Now, Al-Qaeda, this ISIS is supposed to be worse than Al-Qaeda. No. No. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, CARE, ICNA, ISNA, Muslim Student Association, mosques, they're all the same. They have the same belief system. Some do it with guns, like ISIS, and swords, like ISIS. Some do it with their tongues, such as CARE, MSA, Muslim Student Association, the International Islamic Institute of Thought, IT. And you notice here in the United States, there are two entities that are not saying anything about what's going on in Iraq. One is the White House. The Obama-led administration has not said anything about what's going on in Iraq. With the Sunni-led ISIS not only killing Christians, but killing Shia and Kurds, this administration has said nothing. Well, geez, the Muslim Brotherhood, let me just think out loud. The Muslim Brotherhood is usually Sunni-based. The Saudis fund the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood being Sunni, Obama hiring all these Muslim Brotherhooders, oh, well, there's a correlation. And the Islamic organizations in the United States, the Muslim Brotherhood front groups, as well as the imams around the United States, have been silent. Have you noticed? Have you heard anything from Musam el-Siddiqui? Have you heard anything from Nihad Awad? Have you heard anything from ISNA? ISNA always has something to say. You know, Ingrid Mattson and that group always have something to say. The Council on American Islamic Rights Relations always has something to say. You know, like Mustafa Carroll of CARE, who said if you are a practicing Muslim, you're above the law of the land. If you're a practicing Muslim, you're above the law of the land. He said that in the United States, standing on the Capitol steps in Austin, Texas. And yet ISIS is making their way, establishing a caliphate, and there's no outrage expressed. There's no outrage expressed. There's no victim status that's given. Where's the outrage? Where is the demand that ISIS pull back and allow Nouri al-Maliki to run Iraq? Does anybody hear? Can you hear the imams? Can you hear the imams around the United States expressing outrage? No. Because the imams in the United States, like ISIS, are fundamental Muslims. You see, they've tried to sanitize Islam in the United States. And they've tried to dissuade you from reading the Quran. Well, they tell you to read it, but because it's not in Arabic and you can't understand Arabic, it's not the same thing. Well, that's crap, because all you got to do is go to Usama Dakduk's website, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry, and for $20 you can purchase your translated Quran, word for word. It took him over 2.5 years to translate each and every word of a Quran that was institution in Egypt. Bidezme. Usama Dakduk has translated each and every word, him and his staff. So that's bogus. That's just an excuse to sanitize Islam. In the story continues, in the town of Sinjar, witnesses told news agencies that residents had fled after Kurdish fighters put up little resistance against ISIS. On its Twitter site, ISIS has Twitter. Now, you and I, as conservatives, would get shut down from Twitter. We would be banned for 24 hours, 36 hours, but somehow ISIS has a Twitter site. A fundamental Islamic group that chops people's heads off, chops Christians' heads off, kills Christians, dismembers Christians, like they dismembered a four-year-old girl, they could have a Twitter site. It's nice to see that they have cable. Do they have cable? Do they have satellite? Is Comcast over in Iraq? On its Twitter site, ISIS posted a picture of one of its masked fighters holding up a pistol and sitting at the desk of the city's mayor. In a statement on its website, ISIS reported that its fighters had killed scores of Kurdish militiamen. Hundreds fled, leaving vehicles and huge number of weapons and munitions, and the brothers control many areas. ISIS reported the fighters arrived in the border triangle between Iraq, Syria, and Turkey, the group claimed. After soldiers fled ISIS, offensive on Mosul and Tikrit in June, abandoning arsenals that groups took over, militias became a critical line of defense. However, Sunday's battles have called into question the reliance on militias, increasing pressure on Iraq's leaders to form a power-sharing government uniting political, ethnic, and religious factions against ISIS. Now, I don't know about you, but you know what comes to mind when I read this article was since Sheikh Obama did a fantastic job in screwing up Iraq, since he abandoned the Shia-led government of Iraq, and obviously he abandoned the Shia-led government because he's pro-Sunni, by the way, since he's banned that Shia-led government, he's already given a timetable to the Afghan Taliban, letting them know that U.S. troops will be out by December 31st, and we're going to keep, what, some 9,000 troops in Afghanistan? Well, ISIS has to be posturing themselves pretty well. Somehow they've ended up with a crap load of munitions, possibly from the Benghazi compound. Two warehouses full of munitions are gone. Some went, of course, to the Syrian rebels. And, of course, those Syrian rebels now are part of, you guessed it, ISIS. So far, ISIS has stalled in its drive to reach Baghdad, halting just before the town of Samarra, about 100 kilometers, which is 60 miles north of the capital. ISIS has, however, proved successful at consolidating its gains, capturing strategic towns near oil fields as well as border crossing with Syria so that it can move easily back and forth with the transport of supplies. See, this is what you get also when you have a president of the United States whose failed policies, his failed policies in Syria. Here's a man who supported the Syrian rebels, which is the Muslim Brotherhood, which is Al-Qaeda. And remember, as a soundbite, Sheikh Obama uttered his famous words, his now infamous words, that we have Al-Qaeda on the run and they've been decimated. That was a lie. But that happens to be a pattern with Sheikh Obama. Lying is basically indigenous to him. It's within his blood. He's a good Muslim. He can lie with the best of them. And he certainly told a whopper, but it was a soundbite for the 6 o'clock news, knowing that his followers are pretty ignorant. He knows that they won't read. He knows that they follow the Democratic talking points. And yes, this civility crap, which they like to proclaim, that's over with in my book. There is no civility on the part of the Democratic Party. There is no civility on the part of one Barack Hussein, Satoru, or Obama. That's all for sound bites. This is President Soundbite who makes a statement in 30-second and 60-second increments so that they're good for the 6 o'clock and the 11 o'clock news. And all this guy does is he divides this nation. He has absolutely destroyed our foreign policy, our standing in the world. And yet he likes to blame the GOP. At every avenue, he likes to blame the GOP. Well, this is not the GOP's fault when it comes to foreign policy. This guy, don't forget, in 2008 had all the answers. He had all the answers in running for president of the United States. And he's not followed one goddamn thing that he set out to do. He had the answer for this economy. And what did he bring us? He brought us these radical left-wing anti-American Marxists like Bill Ayers, like Van Jones, like Cass Sunstein. He had the answer for the international side, even won a Nobel Peace Prize for not doing a damn thing. This is how this man's been rewarded his entire life, not doing a damn thing and talking sound bites. He can read a teleprompter. Even if he's in a kindergarten class, he has a teleprompter. But he speaks in 30-second and 60-second increments so that his ignorant followers have an idea what he's talking about. And I don't know when somebody's going to fight back, but at least we're starting to see somebody fight back in the House of Representatives. So much so that Nancy Pelosi lost her face the other day when someone called her on the carpet. But this is not good enough. Harry Reid is sitting there obstructing things in the United States Senate. He's doing a yeoman's job for Barack Hussein Sator Obama because he knows the American people are pretty much stupid. Just blame the Republicans. Talk about them being obstructionists. In the meantime, there's over 320 bills that are waiting for a president to react. But our president is going to be going on vacation at taxpayer expense, something that he does very well aside from playing golf. The world is burning, and Barack's out playing golf. And George Bush was an idiot. Doesn't attend his morning security briefings. Goes out to the campaign trail, lies to the families of Benghazi, goes out on the campaign trail, goes and plays golf. Chinook helicopter taken out with SEAL Team 6 after Biden had diarrhea of the mouth, and he gives up to the SEAL Team as supposedly who took out bin Laden, supposedly took out bin Laden. At least that's what President Soundbite uttered. President Soundbite's in the White House Situation Room, and they're taking pictures of him in his presidential jacket. Benghazi? We have no idea where he was. We have no idea what he did when the cable came in that our ambassador was in peril. But it was okay for him to show his face and to have pictures taken for photo ops, which he said he doesn't like. Another lie by Barack Hussein Sator Obama. It's pretty sad that we have an individual who sides more with terrorists than he does with the United States of America. He sides with organizations that are using our Constitution to destroy the Constitution. And ISIS, a Sunni-led organization, who is said to be harsher than Al-Qaeda. Let me tell you something. This is Al-Qaeda. This is Hamas. This is Hezbollah. These are foreign nationals, British nationals, who left Great Britain, the United Kingdom, to join these forces. These are those Islamists from Minneapolis, St. Paul, from Portland, Maine, who left their families to fight with ISIS. ISIS is nothing more than a fundamental Islamic organization. They are following the tenets of the Quran. The Quran is their constitution. That's what the Muslim Brotherhood Front Group has told us. That's what Hassan al-Banna, the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, told the world in 1928, but nobody listened to him. That's what Sayyid Qutb told the world in the 1960s before he was put to death by Nasser. And now Omar Ahmad of the Council on American-Islamic Rights Relations said that Islam is not in America to be equal but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. And we're shocked. We're shocked at what's going on with ISIS. Look how they're treating Christians. Oh my. They've given Christians three choices. Either you convert, or you pay a jizya, or we will kill you. Why? Where did that come from? Is that something, this radical organization that's supposed to be even worse than Al-Qaeda? That's what Al-Qaeda is. That's what ISIS is. They're a fundamental Islamic organization. You know, between Gotti, between Lucha and Eliza, Kel and Tim, EDL, Holger, we have to keep it basic. Because at some point in time, it's going to start resonating. It's going to resonate with you all. There's no doubt about it. Everybody in the chat room understands this already. But as, the Qatari royal family has told Nancy Pelosi over and over again that Hamas is a humanitarian organization, I think it's incumbent upon us to state it over and over again and restate it over and over again that Hamas is a terrorist organization, that ISIS is a fundamental Islamic organization. They are following the tenets of the Quran, which is their constitution, and the Hadith, the word of Muhammad. We must continue to say it over and over again. Because at some point in time, people will start to understand this. They'll understand that what CARE tells you in America is nothing but smoke and mirrors. I haven't seen them on TV, Bill O'Reilly, I don't watch O'Reilly anymore. Haven't seen him on TV telling the American people what ISIS is doing is an outrage, that Christians are innocent. There is no innocence in Islam unless you're Islamic. Jews aren't innocent in Israel being killed by Hamas. Only the Palestinians could be innocent because they're Islamic. We must state it over and over again that the ISIS belief system is a fundamental belief in Islam. That's why imams in America, imams in United Kingdom, imams in Belgium, imams in Italy are not outraged by the decapitation of Christians in Mosul. They're not outraged at the genocide that's being conducted in Nigeria by Boko Haram, a fundamental Islamic organization. Yeah, hashtag bring back our girls. That was a nice novelty by Michelle Obama. And of course, you have Barack Hussein stating that every morning he wakes up thinking about Nigerian girls. I think that's pretty perverted. But then again, he's also following what Muhammad would do. At some point in time, you will believe what Islam tells you. You know, Frank Gaffney can't be wrong. Steve Emerson can't be wrong. Claire Lopez can't be wrong. These are experts in the field of terrorism, counterterrorism, Islam. And they see the same thing over and over again. But see, the imams that are here in America are banking on the fact that you and I are ignorant. while they challenge you and I to read the Quran, they don't want you to read it. Oh, well, you've taken that out of context. Oh, well, you all are taking it out of context. Really? We're taking it out of context. So what you're telling me is that only sheikhs and mullahs that dictate Islamic law can only take Quranic verses out of context? Well, what do you mean? Well, I look up the word jihad in the Reliance of the Traveler, and which is a text of Islamic law, from anything, a divorce to jihad. And I look up the word jihad, and in Reliance of the Traveler, Umdak Salik, it says jihad means to war against non-Muslims. Well, it seems like that ISIS is following Islamic law. It seems like Hamas is following Islamic law. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. Well, to make matters worse, the mullahs, the sheikhs who dictate Islamic law, see, they pull verses out of the Quran to justify their definition of jihad, meaning war against non-Muslims. They cite Quran chapter 2, verse 216, fighting is prescribed for you. Now, did that sheikh, in making this law, in sending down this edict, did he take the Quran out of context? Well, how is it that the sheikh who dictates law can justify jihad, meaning war against non-Muslims, use a verse from the Quran, and he's not taking that verse out of context? But immediately, the defensiveness of Muslims here in the United States, of imams in the United States, when they know that you're hitting a nerve, right away they say, well, wait a minute, you're taking that out of context. You're taking that verse in the Quran out of context. You know, chapter 4, verse 71, it says, "Oh, you will believe, take your precautions, so go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether." Well, how am I taking it out of context? If the mullahs can utilize the scripture from the Quran, fighting is prescribed to you, Quran chapter 2:216, or slay them wherever you find them, Quran 489, and they're not taking it out of context? Well, you've challenged me to read the Quran. Well, I'm reading the Quran. Chapter 4, verse 84, so engage in war for the sake of Allah. Lay not burdens on any but yourself and provoke the believers. Provoke the believers to engage in war. That's what ISIS has done. They've recruited Al-Qaeda. They've recruited Hamas. They've conveniently changed their name. They've even provoked the believers from the United Kingdom. These naturalized British citizens of Pakistani descent who are Islamic, these U.S. nationals who are Islamic, have been provoked to fly over to Iraq and fight alongside with ISIS, to join ISIS. Provoke the believers, just like chapter 4, verse 84 states. So when the sheikhs in Islam decide that they want to justify Islamic law, they take verses out of the Quran. And I like this one here. Jihad means war against non-Muslims. And the sheikhs justify that definition with Quran chapter 9, verse 36, fight the idolaters utterly. Well, if I go to chapter 9, verse 36, why, it states, surely the number of months with Allah is 12 months, and Allah's book, the day he created the heavens and earth, four of those are forbidden. This is the religion, so do not do injustice to yourselves during them. Engage in war with the polytheists as they engage in war with all of you, and know Allah is with the fearer. So you have the imams, you have the sheikhs dictating Islamic law, justifying the Islamic law definitions with verses from the Quran. The Quran is their constitution. And somehow Steve Emerson is wrong. Somehow Claire Lopez is wrong. Somehow Robert Spencer is an Islamophobe. Somehow Pamela Geller is an Islamophobe. And all we're doing is reading their writings. Now what we find out is there are groups, there's fundamental groups like ISIS who are following Islam to a T. Boko Haram committing genocide against Christians and non-Muslims in Nigeria are following Islam to the T. And there's no outcry. There's no disgust expressed by the Islamic groups here in America. Haven't seen rallies. But boy, the Palestinians love to jump out and start screaming at the top of their lungs in support of Hamas. Well, wait a minute. Hamas is a terrorist organization. It's listed as a terrorist organization under the U.S. State Department terror watch list. I believe they're number 13, which is in alphabetical order, by the way. And we're Islamophobes, yet they're Hebrew phobic. Islamists have no problem with being Hebrew phobic. They'll like to lock arms with Catholics. They'll like to lock arms with Jews and to show their solidarity and unity, but haven't seen them lock arms with ISIS because they're devout Muslims. They understand the cause of ISIS. They understand the end game, the reestablishment of a caliphate, which we all probably never thought we'd ever see in our lifetime. And 10 years ago, we were all distracted by other things. Who would have thought that we would have immersed ourselves in fighting an ideology that seeks to destroy us? We saw it with the Democratic Party. We thought that would be our only adversary, but it's not. And sadly, the Democratic Party in the United States has aligned itself with this ideology that seeks to destroy America because they have the same inherent belief system. They don't believe in individual liberty. They believe in big government. They believe that the United States Constitution is irrelevant. One seeks to destroy the U.S. Constitution. The other seeks to replace it, supplant it with Sharia law. And what perfect way to align yourself with some useful idiots than aligning yourself with the Democratic Party? Again, I want to say hello to everybody in the chat room. Bigfoot, Eric from Kafiristan, Eric Kyle from across the pond, cheers. Green Dog, guests, Gulf Dogs, Holger, Lady Michelle, Mama Mia No Sharia. Didn't see you earlier, lady. Mary Akafir, Mama Mia. Kel Infidels are watching you. You can hear Kel tomorrow with Tim Burton right here in the Radio Jihad Network. Smoke in Texas. Hello, Smoke. And the Captain O. Listen to the Captain tonight between 8 p.m. Eastern Time to 10 p.m. 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. He's got a great show. He's from New York. And hello to Sue in the chat room. Good to see you, Sue. Always a pleasure. If you guys don't mind, I'm going to take a quick break here. I hope you all can hear me still. I am going to play one of my favorite songs, and they were in Tampa last week, and I about came unglued because they were absolutely awesome, as usual. And as soon as I find it, here it is. Here it is. Give me 3 minutes, and I will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. I need to take a quick break here to get some more throat lozenges here. But... I really do love this. I mean, I love this rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. I mean, I love the traditional rendition, but there's something about this tradition that's just, I mean, this rendition that's really cool. Sorry, Vorp. All right. There's another story out there. Steve Emerson wrote an article, column, a piece, Obama and Kerry behind one of the most strategic mistakes in military history. I love Steve Emerson. And if you get a chance to read Emerson, obviously he was part of that Team B-2 team with Frank Gaffney, Tom Trento, Claire Lopez, General Boykin. I want to read his article, but also I'm going to comment along the way, and certainly not undermining Steve Emerson at all. I think he hits the nail on the head in so many fronts. It's titled Obama and Kerry Behind One of the Most Strategic Mistakes in Military History. July 22, 2014, Secretary of State John Kerry meets with Egyptian's Foreign Minister Sami Shoukry in Cairo. The obsession by the Obama-Kerry administration with imposing a ceasefire on the warring parties in the Hamas-Israel war will go down in history as one of the most strategic mistakes in military history. Here is a fact the administration deliberately and maliciously ignored. In the history of modern warfare, no terrorist group has ever honored a ceasefire. Well, of course, I just told you the breaking news about Hamas and Israel. Hamas agrees to a 72-hour ceasefire. I guess it is to rearm themselves. But Steve Emerson goes on to say, no terrorist group has ever honored a ceasefire. Hamas has broken every ceasefire it ever said it would honor, every single one. So I guess the over-under would be what? An hour of the 72-hour agreed-upon ceasefire, over or under? Over or under an hour? Even the Israeli-Hamas 2012 ceasefire, brokered by then-Secretary of State Hillary Hankels Clinton, was simply agreed to by Hamas to give it an opportunity to restock its military arsenal, pressure Israel to lift its restrictions on the import of cement and steel into Gaza. And now we know what the steel and the cement was used for, Hillary. You know, Hillary, the smartest woman in the world in 2012, helped contribute to the building of tunnels by Hamas in Gaza, encroaching into Israel. Hillary Clinton was responsible for that. Hillary Clinton helped Hamas build those tunnels by the deals that she tried to broker with Hamas, a terrorist organization. I'm sorry, I didn't read the whole sentence. Even the Israel-Hamas 2012 ceasefire brokered by then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was simply agreed to by Hamas to give it an opportunity to restock its military arsenal, pressure Israel to lift its restrictions on the import of cement and steel into Gaza, material that Hillary said would be used to build hospitals and schools. But in fact, was used to build a network of underground tunnels into Israel, build a subterranean network of underground bunkers, weapons storage facilities, and launching pads. Way to go, Hillary. I can't believe that Uma Abedini couldn't tell you that. And on Friday, Hamas did the exact same thing. It agreed through its main financial backer, Qatar, which is the world's largest financial sponsor of terrorists, groups including Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra in Syria, and which the U.S. inexplicably anointed as its interlocutor to Hamas, that it would honor a 72-hour ceasefire initiated by the Obama-Kerry administration. Now, mind you, this is 2 weeks ago, so now we're back to square one again today in the breaking news that Hamas has agreed to a 72-hour ceasefire. On Thursday night, Kerry proudly announced a ceasefire, but read the main sentence of his press conference. This is classic by John Kerry. This administration is so full of crap that their eyes are turning black. Then as soon as a ceasefire is underway tomorrow morning, Kerry states, I talked to Egyptian foreign minister tonight. Egypt will issue invitations to the parties to come to Cairo immediately in order to engage in a serious and focused negotiations with Egypt to address the underlying causes of the conflict. And I about fell off out of the chair. Underlying causes. But Steve, in his brilliant way, also addresses the statement underlying causes. Can you believe that this administration still wants you and I to believe that there's an underlying cause as to the conflict between Hamas and the rest of the infidels? The underlying causes. What in God's name is Kerry talking about? That would be the equivalent of announcing a ceasefire with Al-Qaeda after it killed 3,000 Americans on 9/11 on the grounds that it needed to address the underlying causes of Al-Qaeda's war against the United States and the West. Here's a little secret for Mr. Kerry. The underlying causes of the current Israeli-Hamas war, initiated by Hamas with its launching of tens of thousands of missiles into Israel and its use of underground tunnels from Gaza to carry out murderous attacks on Israeli civilians, is that Hamas, like Al-Qaeda, is nihilistic radical Islamic organization dedicated to the destruction of the Jewish state and the establishment of an Islamic caliphate? Oh, the Islamic Caliphate has been reestablished in Iraq and Syria. So there's an underlying cause. The other underlying cause is the destruction of the Jewish state. You see, this administration, the Obama administration, again, refuses to tell the American people the truth and nothing but the truth. They think by going to Egypt, you got to broker a deal with Hamas. Oh, we have a 72-hour ceasefire. Hamas has agreed to it in Egypt. As if that's going to do squat. What does Hamas's charter call for? It calls for the destruction of Israel. It calls for the killing of Jews. Now, I don't know about you, but at what point do we take Hamas's charter serious? Wouldn't you consider that an underlying cause? You expect Hamas to come to the bargaining table, but under their arms they still hold, and they're allowed to hold, on the part of these distinguished negotiators like John Larch Kerry, they're allowed to keep in their charter the destruction of Israel, the calling for the annihilation of Israel. They're allowed in their charter to call for the killing of Jews. And we have to sit here and figure out what the underlying causes are. I mean, if John Kerry and Sheikh Obama aren't filling the media sound waves with horse shit, I don't know what else you can do. I mean, how stupid do they think the American people are in its entirety? How they continue to offend the Jewish people in America, the Israeli Jews, the American Jews? Well, we have to figure out what the underlying cause is. The underlying cause to the conflict? Hamas calls for the annihilation of Israel in their charter. The government that was democratically elected by the people of Palestine, the Gazans elected Hamas as their duly elected government. Hamas adopts a charter. The charter calls for the annihilation of Israel. And yet, Israel is the bad guy. And yet Israel has to give up the West Bank. They have to give up the Sinai Peninsula. They have to give up the Mounts of Olives. They have to give up this. They have to give up that. They have to give up the Golan Heights. They have to give up. And Hamas is allowed to keep their charter intact, calling for the annihilation of Israel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you think maybe Do you think maybe an underlying cause might be the fact that Hamas's charter calls for the destruction of Israel? I mean, is John Kerry that stupid? Here's a little secret for John Kerry. The underlying causes of the current Israeli-Hamas war, initiated by Hamas, with its launching of tens of thousands of missiles into Israel, and its use of underground tunnels from Gaza to carry out murderous attacks against Israel's civilians, is that Hamas, like Al-Qaeda, is a nihilistic, radical Islamic organization dedicated to the destruction of the Jewish state and the establishment of an Islamic caliphate. And the only issue that I would take with Steve Emerson, when he uses the word nihilistic, radical Islamic organization in describing Hamas like Al-Qaeda, I would change the radical Islamic organization to a fundamental Islamic organization. Because if we do not recognize and call these Islamic organizations for what they are, they will continue to move forward with their campaign to annihilate the Western democracies, to take out the Western democracies. Because in my opinion, Hamas is not just a radical organization. No, Al-Qaeda is not a radical organization. They are a fundamental organization. Andrew Beeshead has it correct. These are fundamental Islamic organizations who believe that Islam should be the supreme power of the world. Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam, the only accepted religion on earth. It didn't say the only accepted religion in America. It didn't say the only accepted religion in the UK. It didn't say the only accepted religion in Belgium. It doesn't say the only accepted religion in Australia. It says it's the only accepted religion on earth. That is a fundamental belief in Islam. Hamas believes in the destruction of Israel. It believes in the annihilation of the Jewish state. That is in their charter. That is their belief system. So the only thing that I would take differently from Steve Emerson is the use of the word radical Islamic organization. It's a fundamental Islamic organization. And until we come to terms with that statement, Islam will continue to move forward in their victimhood status. These are not victims. These are assassins. These are aggressors. These are fundamental Islam. These are devout Muslims. Imam Siraj Wahaj is a devout Muslim. Imam Muzamil Siddiqui is a devout Muslim. You may want to label them radical. They are not radical. They are devout Muslims. They have a belief system. The belief system is Islam being the only accepted religion on earth. The term underlying causes directly implies that there are legitimate, rational grievances by Hamas. Yet the same underlying causes that motivated Adolf Hitler to carry out a worldwide war of conquest, including the Holocaust of 6 million Jews, Hamas is the embodiment of pure evil, and its motivation is the same as the Al-Qaeda, is the same as that of Al-Qaeda and ISIS. That is Islam. Hezbollah is no different than Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is no different than ISIS. ISIS is no different than the Muslim Brotherhood. Again, one does it with the sword, the other does it with the tongue. One does it with extermination of Christians, the other one does it with the extermination of the constitutions in their respective countries that they are trying to invade. On Fox News, the former U.S. Ambassador to Bahrain, Adam Arely, summed up the conflict in words that accurately describe the underlying causes behind the war between Israel and Hamas. The former U.S. ambassador to Bahrain stated, "What we're seeing happen between Israel and Gaza is not a localized conflict, but as much is part of the bigger regional war. And that war has Iran, Hezbollah, and the Muslim Brotherhood on one side, and it has forces of what I would call reason and moderation on the other side, being Israel, Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and other countries of the Gulf. And the United States has an interest in ensuring that the forces of reason and moderation prevail." Mr. Irelli was right on point. But somehow, this administration lost sight of its real strategic interests and instead embraced an agenda that has resulted in extensive damage to our national interests, which in turn has resulted in increasing the strategic threat to American national security. Again, I'm going to have to take a little different stance than Steve Emerson on this. When it comes to defining this administration has lost sight of its real strategic interests. This administration has never lost sight. We're talking about the Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama administration. Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama has never lost sight of what the end game is. Bankrupt America, shred the Constitution, and instill and install the Muslim Brotherhood inside the United States, embed the Muslim Brotherhood within the United States government, seeking to undermine the United States of America. There's no patriotic president in his right mind would do the drastic things, the radical things that would undermine the United States than what Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama has done. There's absolutely no mystery, none, zero, zilch, nada, as to who people like Mohammed El-Biari are. There's no mystery as to who Dalia Mogahed is and what her belief system is and what she said while being the appointee of the faith-based initiative, what she said on Hizb ut-Tahrir in Great Britain, calling for the United States Constitution to be supplanted by Sharia law, while she was serving inside the White House at the behest of the President of the United States. See, the President of the United States does not lose sight of the real strategic interest. We've talked plenty about his June 4th, 2009 Cairo speech. You don't lose sight, and then all suddenly the Arab Spring erupts. The Muslim Brotherhood now has reared its ugly head in Egypt, which had been banned by Egypt for 60 years. You don't rear your ugly head and lose sight of the fact that Hosni Mubarak is now deposed, a man who is installed by the colonialists. No, see, Barack Hussein Obama has never lost sight of his goal, and that goal is a Marxist goal, one in which to undermine the United States of America. There's nobody that can be that callous and stupid and fiscally irresponsible to spend money in such an irrational way as Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama has done. On one hand, the U.S. State Department has declared Hamas a terrorist organization. On another hand, Barack Hussein Obama stands up and proclaims that Egypt had entered into a democracy, and the people of Egypt spoke up and they elected the Muslim Brotherhood's Mohamed Morsi. Democracy! This is what the people are longing for. The Egyptian people were yearning for it. Democracy. So tell us about democracy in Gaza, where the Gazans elected Hamas as their controlling government. Hamas, a terrorist organization by the United States State Department, and you've given $1.4 billion of taxpayer money to rebuild Gaza, to shore up their economy, and that economy is run by Hamas, a terrorist organization. See, it's worth stating over and over again, because it all ties in to articles like this, of like Steve Emerson eloquently wrote. But I'm not willing to give Obama a pass about him losing sight. Obama knows exactly what he's doing. He may come off as a buffoon, which he is, an anti-American, which he is, but he knows what the end game is. If this guy is supposedly a constitutional professor, then he knows the U.S. Constitution. He knows how to abuse it, which he's done. The administration believes that Al-Qaeda is bad, but the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the parent of Hamas and Islamic Jihad, as well as that of Al-Qaeda, is a rational organization with legitimate grievances that can be negotiated with on the same basis that the U.S. can negotiate with Canada or Germany. That's why this administration has embraced the Muslim Brotherhood, starting with the first speech Obama gave in Cairo in February 2009, one month after he became president, sadly, of the United States, where the first two rows of dignitaries were 20 leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, hand-selected by the Obama administration. You see, that's why I can't give him a pass about where he's lost sight. See, this administration knowingly had the Muslim Brotherhood in an audience in a key international speech where, of course, he also proclaimed that America is no longer a Judeo-Christian nation. So you can't say, you cannot say that he's lost sight of things. They know exactly what they're doing. And yes, Lady Michelle, you're correct. Obama is a constitutional fraud. He's created a constitutional crisis. He's a fraud. He's an absolute fraud. And sadly, he has willing accomplices in the United States House and Senate who give him a pass. Moreover, the Obama administration, according to an investigation carried out by my organization, that's Steve Emerson's organization, the Investigative Project on Terrorism, lifted all visa restrictions on Muslim Brotherhood officials in their application to visit the United States. Now listen to this. This is also what's troubling. Okay? This is why I can't give Obama a pass on they've lost sight and he's inept. No, this is why I can't give him a pass on this. Because this is so fundamentally wrong that the President of the United States would engage in this type of activity that undermines the American people and the Constitution. I can't give him a pass on this. In a report our organization will be releasing next week, more than 25 senior Muslim Brotherhood officials who had publicly called for jihad against the United States or the West, or had openly expressed their support for Hamas and Hezbollah, visited the United States in the past 3 years and met with senior U.S. officials. One of them, who served as vice president of a Muslim Brotherhood group that had called for the killing of Americans, actually met with the president of the United States, Obama, in the White House. One of them, who served as vice president of a Muslim Brotherhood group that had called for the killing of Americans, actually met with President Obama in the White House. Now, if that doesn't piss you off, I don't know what will. The president of the United States openly meets with radical members of the Muslim Brotherhood, members of the Muslim Brotherhood who call for the killing of Americans. What kind of president stands this type of terrorism? What type of president endorses this type of terrorism? So the underlying causes of the current war of annihilation carried out by Hamas against Israel is very simple. It believes that Israel needs to be destroyed paralleling the same agenda of Al-Qaeda that believes the United States should be destroyed. We are talking about an organization that won't be satisfied in short term until every Jew in Israel is dead, and the long term until the Western civilization is destroyed, replaced by a worldwide Islamic caliphate. That is perhaps the most profound statement, paragraph, by Steve Emerson. He hits it on the head on all fronts. Hamas calls for the destruction, for the annihilation of Israel. It calls for the killing of Jews. It calls for the destruction of Israel. And you want to negotiate in all earnest with Hamas? You literally take Hamas serious when they have threatened in writing, in their charter, in their own law, to call for the destruction of Israel? You meet with the members of the Muslim Brotherhood? The Muslim Brotherhood, the same Muslim Brotherhood that wrote this thing called the Explanatory Memorandum, where it states the Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is kind of a grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. The Muslim Brotherhood has spoken. The Muslim Brotherhood seeks to destroy America from within. Now, is Obama part of that destruction from within? Is this is what Obama is endorsing? He took an oath of office that calls for the protection and defending of America from all sources, foreign, from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And yet, he endorses the Muslim Brotherhood. He allows them to walk into the White House when they call for the killing of Americans? Is this the type of man that we want leading us as President of the United States? You know, they say, well, we only have 2 more years. 2 years, he can do a lot more damage. I mean, hell, he's trying to find his way now. After 5 years, he can't resonate with the American people. Because he's so far out of touch. He's so fiscally irresponsible. And now he's entertaining terrorists. He left 4 Americans to die in Benghazi. He wasn't around for a photo op for that, was he? But boy, he sure as hell made himself available for a photo op in supposedly taking out bin Laden, which we've never seen the body. He sure as hell made himself available for a photo op with tons of fun in New Jersey. But yet, President Soundbite wasn't around for a photo op for Benghazi. Hamas on Friday succeeded in kidnapping an Israeli officer after launching a suicide bombing against Israeli soldiers in a well-planned operation 90 minutes after the ceasefire had gone into effect. Hear that? Hamas agrees to a ceasefire, and what did they do? They ended up abducting an Israeli officer. Immediately following the suicide bombing that killed several Israeli soldiers, still unreported, by the way, and part of that ceasefire, right? Yeah, yeah. Immediately following the suicide bombing that killed several Israeli soldiers, still unreported, a group of up to 10 Hamas terrorists immediately descended upon the scene of the bombing where chaos reigned supreme and kidnapped the Israeli officer in charge of the company stationed in Gaza. Then Musa Abu Marzouk, a leader of Hamas in Cairo, who was invited to participate in the talks with the U.S. and U.N. officials on the ceasefire, had the audacity to announce the kidnapping took place before the ceasefire went into effect. Well, gee, there's a surprise, a Muslim who lies. Huh. Surprise his name wasn't Obama. This was a manifestly demonstrable lie, as Israel would never have agreed to a ceasefire if it knew one of its soldiers had been kidnapped. The Obama-Kerry administration's obsession with imposing a ceasefire in Israel on the grounds that too many civilians were being killed in collateral damage caused by the fact that Hamas uses their Gaza population as human shields, by the way, somehow convinced itself that Hamas, an organization with legitimate political grievances. You see, I wouldn't give the Obama administration that much credit either. They know what Hamas is. And we have an administration who's negotiating with terrorists. But then again, this is the same administration who negotiated with Taliban terrorists to get a U.S. Army deserter, while Andrew Tamarisi, Sergeant Tamarisi, is still sitting in a goddamn Mexican jail. And Obama has the audacity, to say, we leave no man behind. No man left behind. Well, what about Andrew Tamarisi? What about Andrew Tamarisi? You know what? Let's give him the 11 million Mexicans that have invaded the United States. We'll throw in Barack Obama. We'll throw in Valerie Jarrett and Joe Biden. You can have them all, okay? Give us our Marine. He's worth more than you are, you piece of crap. At this point, the administration is truly wants to limit the damage to our own national security and reverse the strategic threat to the survival of Israel. It needs to be honest with itself and acknowledge an historic mistake. See, this is, again, where I take a different stand than Steve Emerson. First of all, they don't see this as a historic mistake. One, Obama will never admit to any type of mistake, but two, when you purposely, intentionally sabotage, when you intentionally negotiate with terrorists, when you intentionally bring terrorists to the table, you know what you're getting. Obama knows the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, hell, his own brother, half-brother's in bed with the Muslim Brotherhood in his foundation that Lois Lerner gave a 501c3 status to, by the way. Obama knows. So I'm not willing to give him credit where they're looking to limit the damage. They don't care what the damage is, you see? Obama doesn't care. All he cares about is bringing Israel to its knees. You know, we all heard that White House leaked a tape to an Israeli newspaper, a conversation between Bibi and President Soundbite. And here we have President Soundbite demanding to Bibi that they will, you will agree to a ceasefire. You will ceasefire. You know, who the hell do you think you are, Barack? We know that you're part of the Muslim Brotherhood. Here you are. You expect our sovereignty to come under your thumb? We have Hamas who killed three Israeli boys, abducted them, and murdered them. And we're not supposed to retaliate. We have 2,500 to 3,000 rockets being fired into Israel on a constant basis, on a daily basis, and now we're not supposed to respond? You have the cowards of Hamas hiding behind schools, behind children, behind hospitals, and firing into Israel, and we're not supposed to defend ourselves? What is it? Are we supposed to allow bombs to explode in Tel Aviv, one of our most populous cities, and not retaliate? You have an organization called Hamas, duly elected by the Gazans as their primary government, who calls for the destruction of Israel and is setting a pathway of destruction of Israel, building tunnels, firing rockets and missiles, abducting our citizens, going across lines and killing women and children and families like the Fogel family, and we're not supposed to defend ourselves? Suddenly Hamas has found some humanitarian itch and saying, oh, the children. In the meantime, you're putting children on windows and in ledges so that Israelis won't fire. And to the credits of the pilots, the Israeli pilots, they don't fire when they see children, because they know that Israelis are humane, whereas Hamas is an animal. They're animals. The Obama-Kerry administration obsession with imposing a ceasefire in Israel on the grounds that too many civilians were being killed in collateral damage somehow convinced itself that Hamas was an organization with legitimate political grievances. Yes, the same type of radical Islamic group whose agenda parallels exactly that of some radical Islamic groups that had killed thousands of Americans and Europeans and those in whose wars of aggression have resulted in the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Muslims and Christians in Syria and Iraq. At this point, the administration, if truly wants to limit the damage of our own national security and reverse the strategic threat to survival of Israel, needs to be honest with itself and acknowledge its historic mistake in its approach to the Muslim Brotherhood and its stepchild, Hamas. Should say, with this front group, Hamas. The Muslim Brotherhood is the godfather of all Sunni terrorist groups, from Al-Qaeda to Hamas to ISIS, a fact these groups openly admit. Americans must understand who the Muslim Brotherhood is. The Muslim Brotherhood is the main corporation. Its subsidiaries are the Council on American Islamic Relations. Its subsidiary is the Muslim Student Association. Its subsidiary is the Congressional Muslim Staffers Association. Its subsidiary is the North American Islamic Trust. It's the Islamic Society of North America. It's the International Islamic Institute of Thought. It's a Muslim youth organization. And until Americans come to grips with who the Muslim Brotherhood really is, Hamas continues to get a pass. And until Americans understand that Hamas calls for the destruction and annihilation of Israel, Hamas will get a pass. See, Hamas is not this poor organization. You feel for those innocent, truly innocent people of Gaza who are used as human shields. You do feel for them. But you all elected them. When 92% of the Gazans elect Hamas as their government, it leaves little 8%. Tell me, what did you expect from Hamas? You mean to tell me that you all can't read? That Hamas's charter calls for the annihilation and destruction of Israel. It calls for the killing of Jews, but so does your Quran. The administration's current policy towards the Muslim Brotherhood extends from the legitimacy to it has conferred on the Muslim Brotherhood organization overseas and its chief patron, Qatar, to the embrace of the Muslim Brotherhood front groups in the United States. This administration has gone so far as to ban the mention of the term radical Islam and to claim the world jihad means only peaceful struggle. Well, see, the administration, and Obama should know this because, you know, as a Muslim, he understands what Reliance of the Traveler is, what Umdat Salik is. Umdat Salik defines jihad. So while the administration purposely deceives the American people like an imam would in the United States, this administration has gone so far as to ban the mention of the term radical Islam and to claim that world jihad means only peaceful struggle. Well, in Islamic law, jihad means to war against non-Muslims. It's etymologically derived from the word mujahada, signifying warfare to establish the religion. And it is the lesser jihad. As for the greater jihad, it is a spiritual warfare against the lower self, which is why the Prophet said he was returning from jihad. We have returned from the lesser jihad to the greater jihad. Jihad, fighting is prescribed for you. Slay them wherever you find them. Fight the idolaters utterly. This administration knows what jihad means, but as good patrons of the Islamic movement, they deceive the infidel. They deceive Americans. Word jihad means peaceful struggle and nonviolent commitment to impose Islam, which is genuine historic and religious definition of jihad. Reversing these policies would not only help protect the long-term strategic interests of the United States, but it would also protect and help in the growth of community of genuine Muslim moderates, who in the end are the only key to reversing the growing threat of radical Islam in the world today. Well, I could differ from that one as well, that last statement. The genuine Muslim, well, quote, moderate, since we all like to use that term more, since the West likes to use that term moderate, or at least in America. If the moderate Muslims would stand up and denounce this type of terror activity, if they would denounce the Muslim Brotherhood, if they denounce Al-Qaeda, if they denounce war, jihad meaning war, if they would stop seeking to impose a movement to supplant the U.S. Constitution with Sharia law, you might want to be considered a moderate. Moderate is an American term. It's contrived to disarm the American people. There's no moderate Muslim. Qatar is not a moderate country. It's amazing how Obama has thrusted Qatar into the limelight, hasn't he? Take five Taliban terrorists from Gitmo, the creators of the Taliban, five Taliban terrorists. Send them to Qatar for an army deserter. But then Qatar is financing Hamas, who is buying weapons to destroy Israel. Qatar is in support of terrorism, supporting terrorist organizations of the Muslim Brotherhood. And behind the scenes, we have a president who's working with a facilitator of terrorism around the world in Qatar. And yet, nobody in the United States Congress has said a damn word. I don't know. I like Steve Emerson. I really respect the Investigative Project on Terrorism. I think Steve is right on much more than I would question. He is certainly smarter than I, but I would take... I know he's being politically correct in some ways when he talks about this administration, but this administration, the Barack Hussein Sattar administration, understands Islam. Remember, it was Barack Hussein Sattar Obama who stood before the United Nations and said, I've known Islam on three continents or three decades. I've known Islam. He loves the call to prayer. He even said it in Arabic. Obama understands the movement of the Muslim Brotherhood. And you don't show tolerance for someone like Muhammad El-Biari, who states that Sharia law should supplant the U.S. Constitution, and the man still is getting paid by the Department of Homeland Security. The man is still consulting with the Department of Homeland Security. The man is still authorizing policies to Homeland Security as appointed by the President of the United States, and the man's not fired. And then on the other hand, we have to read articles and periodicals that say they can limit the damage, and unknowingly, they know exactly what's happening. Barack Hussein Sattar Obama is one of the worst things to happen to the United States, but probably one of the best things in the form of helping to educate Americans as to what we are not. We are not a third world country. We believe in individual freedoms and liberties. We are not a country that should be governed solely by, and we certainly believe in less government, but we certainly don't have a president who has a patriotic bone in his body. He's a fraud. And sadly, this man continues to get a pass, as if he's a neophyte when it comes to Islam and terrorist organizations. I mean, this man doesn't attend daily security briefings, but he's known Islam on three continents. Now, it didn't take us long. You know, Bigfoot, Eric from across the pond, Holger, dogs, Mary, Kel. It didn't take us long, Smoke, to understand what Islam is. It didn't take us long to find out who the players were. And we all went from zero to 70 in less than 3 years. We went from zero knowledge of Islam. And in some cases, as a result of November 11, 2001, September 11, 2001, September 12th, when then-President Bush uttered those now infamous words that Islam means peace, he parroted those from Muzamil Siddiqui to dupe the American people. That might have been our first education of Islam. That's where we awakened to Islam. We went from zero to 70 in less than 10 years to understand who the enemy is. The enemy is Islam, who's at war with the West, who's at war with our freedoms and our liberties. And if we the people, can educate ourselves into knowing who the enemy is, like the Muslim Brotherhood, Hassan al-Banna, the father of the Muslim Brotherhood, what his intention was for the Muslim Brotherhood and Islam in the world, not just the United States, but what it was to be in the world, and who the players have been in our lifetime. And we found out since September 11, 2001. You mean to tell me that a president, a soundbite president, who uttered the infamous words that he's known Islam on three continents, doesn't know what the Muslim Brotherhood is, or what it stood for, or what it was? Now, on one hand, we're told that he's the smartest man in the room. He is brilliant. Sometimes he's so smart for his own good. I find that hard to believe. I think he's a fraud. But be that as it may, if he's that smart, then he knew what Islam stood for. He knows what the Muslim Brotherhood stand is. And certainly President Soundbite, in all of these security briefings, when he's briefed about who the Muslim Brotherhood is, knows what the explanatory memorandum stated and what the end goal is for the Muslim Brotherhood by virtue of that explanatory memorandum. You're right, Eric. Obama doesn't need security briefings. He is the threat. You're absolutely correct. And that goes hand in hand with what I'm just talking about. We, Eric, you, Eric, Bigfoot, dogs, Holger, Lady Michelle, Mary, Southern Sense, Smoke, Kel, we took it upon ourselves to learn who the players were in the world of terrorism. We didn't have imbeciles like Susan Rice advising us. We didn't have the knowledge of Islam on three continents as Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama had. But it didn't take us long, did it, Eric? It didn't take us long to know who the enemies of America were, the enemies of freedom are, did it? We didn't need security briefings either. But we listened to the Noni Darwishes, the Craig Wynns, the Robert Spencers, Pamela Gellers, we learned by Islam's actions as well. We know that Islam does not mean peace. Islam means submission. We know that jihad is not the personal sacrifice as they're trying to dupe the American people. Why do we know that? Because what we did was we went out and we bought the Islamic books. We went out and we bought the Islamic law book. The Islamic law book, Reliance of the Traveler, it's the law book. It tells Muslims how they what they are to do after they wake up, when they sleep, when they go to the bathroom, when they born, when they die, when someone dies, when they want a divorce, when they marriage, how they have sex. We bought the Reliance of the Traveler. And in it, the Reliance of the Traveler tells us. It tells us because the Islamic powers to be, those who make Islamic law, told us that jihad means to war against non-Muslims. And those same Islamic scholars from Al-Aqsa University to Saudi Arabia, those Islamic scholars justified jihad, meaning war against non-Muslims. They used Quranic verses to justify that definition. And at the same token, you've got imams in America who say, oh, you've taken that out of context when you read verses of the Quran. Like 25:2, Allah took no son. Well, that tells me that we're not praying to the same God. If Jesus Christ is the Son of God and Allah has no son, that means that Muslims don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But they love the campaign, we believe in Jesus too. Well, they believe he's a prophet, a mere prophet behind that of their pedophilia prophet. Oh, and by the way, that statement, you're Islamophobic. Oh, really? Well, in the hadith, it says that a 53-year-old man called Muhammad, your prophet, married a 6-year-old girl and then consummated the marriage at age 9. Now, you're telling me that a 53-year-old man has sex with a 9-year-old girl, a 9-year-old girl who still plays with dolls. And in the hadith, it even says she was playing with dolls. And he practiced the art of thying. How proud Muslims must be that their prophet was a pedophile. A 53-year-old man has sex with a 9-year-old girl. That's disgusting. You look at your daughter who's playing with dolls at age 9 and 10 and 11, and you see the innocence of that child, and Muhammad broke that innocence. And Muslim men break that innocence on a daily basis. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei broke the innocence of a 4-year-old Iraqi girl as the parents sat in the other room. Why? We read, we educate ourselves, we immerse ourselves in Islam. And if we the people can educate ourselves, take it upon ourselves to educate as to who the enemy is. You mean to tell me that one Barack Hussein Sator or Obama hasn't done the same thing? What an insult. What an insult of our intelligence. Now, the lamestream, the mainstream media may want to give him a pass because he's black and he's the first black president and he is a left-wing liberal, so they believe in that ideology. But they've done the American people a tremendous disservice. While they railed against George W. Bush, while they sought to undermine George W. Bush because he was a Republican, they protect a man who's tearing down this country, a man who violated the press's own brother. But because that brother was with the demonized Fox News, they gave Obama a pass. Can you imagine if Barack Hussein Obama authorized the investigation of Leslie Stahl? Can you imagine going after Leslie Stahl and her family? How outraged? What about Brzezinski, Mika Brzezinski? What if the administration decides to go ahead and investigate Mika Brzezinski? Huh? Brezna, whatever the hell her name is. Well, why don't they do? You think she might be a little pissed off? Freedom of the press infringe upon free speech, And that's what Obama has engaged in. If he does not like you, if you are the enemy, you will be investigated by Barack Hussein Obama's administration, and this guy doesn't know shit about what's going on. How can he be that disengaged? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I learned it in the newspaper. I learned it in the paper. This is not a leader. See, but Obama knows Islam. And all of us here in the Radio GN Network, EDL, Holger, we have immersed ourselves in understanding Islam. And if you don't think Obama knows Islam, then you're really fooling yourself. He has known Islam on three continents. And his incontinence is pissing on the American people and our Constitution. So let's see what happens with this 72-hour ceasefire in Gaza. Over-under on it, 36 hours, 24 hours. What's the over-under on 24-hour ceasefire that Hamas violates it? I'm going to say under 24 hours. Should have a little bit of a pool. The United Nations, the useless nations, has, of course, inserted itself. The useless nations has not come to the defense of Americans, let's American in a Mexican jail, a Marine at that. They have not come to the defense of an American imprisoned in Iran in total violation of UN Resolution 16/18. So the ruse continues by Islam. The ruse continues by Islam. Well, thank you all for letting me indulge for the past hour and 55 minutes. Sorry Al couldn't be here tonight. He's on assignment. But I want to thank Bigfoot, Eric from Kafiristan, Eric Kyle from across the pond, three guests that are here, Gulf Dogs, Holger. And you get a Mamma Mia for being the first in the chat room here, Holger. And I loved your show. Check out a show on from Saturday. You know, this is when I heard Holger's show, I was reading up on what was going on with ISIS and such, and I thought I'd continue the thread sort of. Lady Michelle, always good to see you, lady. I thank you for coming tonight, lady. Marison Ministry, thanks for coming. Mary Akafir, always a pleasure, Mary. Kel. Infidels are watching you tomorrow night. Kel and Tim will be on the Radio Jihad Network from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You have Smoke, always a pleasure, Smoke. Southern Sense, Annie, listen to Annie tomorrow afternoon, I believe, at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Southern Sense, she does a great show. She hits pretty hard. Iggy Mom, Iggy, always a pleasure to see you, Mom. Thanks for coming tonight. Flycatch, hey, Fly, nice to see you, man. Always great to see you. Luchadora, my Twitter buddy. Luchadora, you can catch Lucha on Wednesday nights with Liza Jane, MP91 Freedom Quest, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Thank you, Sue from New Mexico. Thanks for coming tonight. And Smoke, I'm glad you stayed on there in the on cue. Thursday night, Gadi Edelman in the America Akbar with Rabbi Nachman and the beautiful Reese Cup. Friday, Dr. Mark Christian. I believe he's on 2:30 in the afternoon, by the way. Saturday, Osama Duck Duck in the Straight Ray of Grace Ministry. Sunday, Uncle Dave's Right Wing Redneck Radio Rag. And Monday, Al and I will be back. And hopefully, Al will have it hooked up to where you guys will be able to see it ahead of time, and our show will be posted. Apparently, it's not been posted the last 2 weeks. We don't know why, but we'll try to make sure it's posted on there. God bless our troops and God bless America. Radio Jihad, striving to educate America.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
What do those words mean to you? To me, they say, thank you, America, for your strength, for your courage, and for our freedom, which has been a beacon to the world for 200 years.
Of the United States of America.
Whose bright stars are 50 states, each bearing its own stamp of individuality. People, 200 million strong. People who have come to her from all corners of the earth.
And to the Republic for which it stands.
A land of laws with an ingenious system of checks and balances that allows no man to become a tyrant and lets no group prevail if their power is not tempered with a real concern for the governed. A land where the right of dissent and free speech is jealously guarded. Where the ballot box is the sword, people, its wielder.
One nation under God.
A land where freedom of worship is a cornerstone of her being. A land graced with temples and churches, synagogues and altars that rise in profusion to embrace all the religions of the world.
Indivisible.
A land forged by the hot steel and raw courage, informed forever by the awful crucible. Civil War.
With liberty.
Where man in pursuit of an honest life will not be denied his chance. Where her citizens move freely within her vast borders without hindrance or fear. A land brimming with opportunity. Where freedom of choice is the guideline for all.
And justice.
The courts of our land are open to all. Its wheels of justice grind for all causes. All people. They look to every avenue for justice, every concern of the law, and they temper their reasoning with mercy for all.